Is everybody good? Everybody happy? Man, I'm so in love with God. I'm so thankful for who He is. I want to tell you what's on my heart this morning. I really feel led this morning to talk about faith. I feel like God wants to stir up faith in the room. Like the kind of faith, man, that just, like, I actually specifically, it's almost like I feel like God is inviting us to believe again. And it's not that we've stopped believing, like, I know that there's a God. It's not that we've stopped believing in God, but just, again, in the sense that specifically I feel like maybe there's some people in the room or some people watching that you've put down some things. There's some things that you were once believing God for, you were once praying into and wanting to happen, and because they haven't happened yet, you just put them to the side and you just stopped because they hasn't happened yet. And I just see people picking things back up and handing them back to God, saying, God, I believe in you again for this. And I feel like God, I see Him showing up. I see Him answering us this morning. I see Him encountering us with just how real He is, how close He is, and what He loves to do in our life. More than anything this morning, I want us to see that faith, having faith, believing in God, is more simple than you think it is. And I just feel like this morning, I feel like He wants to stir up a faith. Maybe you've had some things in your life that are unexpected. Maybe you're praying into something that hasn't happened yet. Maybe you've got a situation or a circumstance. And I just see us standing up saying, God, just real simple. God, I believe in you for this. And watching Him show up. I just believe it. I feel it in the room this morning. He wants to stir up a faith again. He's in the business of reversing our situations, of curing us from any disease, of healing the brokenhearted. He's in the position of just changing things. That's what He loves to do. This is what Jesus came to pay for. So I just see it. I see it happening. I feel it happening. This subject of faith is real near and dear to my heart. And I think because for the past 3 years of my life, I feel like I've been on this journey of, like, really hungry and longing and learning and growing and what it actually looks like to live a life of faith. And I feel like, too, man, this message is going to pair really well with last week's message. If you're here last week, I talked on the harvest being plentiful, and our role as sons and daughters to go and live out and preach and demonstrate the kingdom of God. But as we minister, as we go, as we become love, it must be done from a place of rest. Right? So when we talked about this, and I feel like, man, the body of Christ is being awakened to this realization that, man, there are people around us that are in need and hurting. Like the heart, like we're realizing now more than ever that the harvest is really, really plentiful. I got news, it's always been that way. But I think now we're really realizing it because we're faced with this pandemic. We're faced with some racial tension. Everybody's wondering what the economy is going to look like. And so we realize people around us are hurting and in need, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. And I'm telling you this morning, His name is Jesus Christ. And we get to give Him away everywhere we go by the way that we live our lives. I mentioned this last Sunday, but a few weeks ago, I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I got a question. I said, man, what am I supposed to be saying and doing right now? We got pandemic, we got racial stuff, we got economy stuff. All these things are happening. What do you want me to say and what do you want me to do? And He spoke to me so clearly. He said, Wes Springer, you stick to the original assignment. Preach the good news of the kingdom of God everywhere you go with every person you're around, because Jesus is the answer. We're not to join any other move. We're to join the move of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? He's moving in power, and we get to partner with Him. See, I think the greatest thing that we can do right now, see, is not join a move, join a march, rant and rave all over social media. I think the greatest thing you and I can do is wake up every day and just love our families towards the heart of God. I think the greatest thing we could do is go to work, go to the grocery store, and just love our neighbor towards the heart of the Father, because He's the answer. He's the mediator. He's the reconciler. Are you with me this morning? It's Him. It's Jesus. We just get through singing about Him. He's it, man. It doesn't mean that you can't respond to things specifically. I'm not saying you can't go to a peaceful protest. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you better make sure your voice isn't louder than the Holy Spirit's voice. We got to pay more attention to what he's saying, what he's doing, and what he wants to do through you and I in this hour. Are you with me this morning? Woo! We got to, man. We're moving with him. He's the answer. And so we talked about this moving with the Spirit. We talked about sticking to the original assignment. We talked about becoming love. But it must be done from a place of rest. If ministry is not done from rest, then it'll become more about what you do rather than who you are. It'll become a burden rather than this opportunity to see lives changed. You'll put pressure on yourself to make something happen when Jesus has already made it happen. We get the pleasure of resting in the Spirit. Are you with me? This is a side note. But you know, God is not looking like for people who share the gospel in the most perfect way. He's not looking for well-groomed ministers. He's just looking for people who have love in their heart and who are willing to step out and open up their mouth because they're resting in the pleasure of the Spirit because they believe that he's perfect in everything that he does. Oh, that's it, man. That's us. That's you and I, that's sons and daughters. I'm telling you, there's a faith that's going to be stirred up this morning. At some point, we got to live out of this desperation. Not in an unhealthy way, like I'm begging God to do something, but in this way where it's like, I don't care what anybody else says or thinks or does. I have to see people's lives change because I know what's available. I'm in love with the Father, and I'm in love with people, so here I go. We go in love, we minister from rest, and we walk by faith. As we go, we rest, but we must have faith. I want to talk about a real simple, just raw faith that just believes in God. That believes that God is who he says he is, period. That's it. I want to go past our understanding, and I want to just cut right to the heart. God, I'm with you and I believe in you. I want the kind of faith that believes that God not only can, but that he will, because this is who he is. Because who he is, we're going to see him do what he does. Are you with me? Do you know why we get to have that kind of faith? I want to show you this morning why faith is more simple than you think it is. It's because, like, this is God's heart. This is his will. Like, God is in the life-changing business. Do you know that? Like, there's a reason that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He wants everyone to encounter him. He wants everyone to be saved. He's in the life-changing business. See, he's on the move. See, oftentimes we're waiting on a move of God, and God going, I'm already moving. You step out, and you get to be someone else that I move through because he's in the life-changing business. This is his heart. This is his will. This is why faith is so simple, because when we step out, it's not that just he steps out with us. He's already there. He's waiting on us, man, to become someone else that he moves through. He's a God of action. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And when Jesus shed his blood, he shed his blood so that everyone could be rescued from darkness into light. Be delivered, man, into a new way of thinking that's no longer influenced by the enemy, but is influenced by the kingdom. So that we could be healed and whole. This is salvation. It is God's will for everyone to step into the fullness of what Jesus paid for them to have. He's on the move. That's what makes faith more simple than you think it is. We just step out and he's there. I'll talk about this more in a second, but our faith actually attracts his faithfulness. Are you with me this morning? I want the kind of faith that doesn't just believe that nothing's impossible with God, but the kind of faith that knows that when I step out and pray, it's impossible for nothing to happen because this is who the Father is. This is it. This is who the Father is. I want that, man. I'm still learning and growing. And sometimes my mind gets in the way. I want simple, raw, God, I believe in you. I believe in you. I feel like, you guys, it's time. We say this a lot, but it's time for the miraculous to become normal. But listen, you know why the miraculous gets to be normal? Because of who the Father is. not because of what we do. We step out in faith and the miraculous becomes normal because God's a God of action. He's in the life-changing business. Are you with me? See, every time you and I see a miracle, breakthrough, healing, it's a miracle to us, but it's normal to the Father. This is just His heart. This is His will. This is why He sent Jesus. This is why He sent the Holy Ghost in power to deliver to everyone what Jesus paid for them to have. At some point, we got to step out and take the risk and not worry about what anybody else thinks about us or says about us, because people are worth it and we believe that God's on the move. I'm serious, but this gets to be the life that we get to live. This is how we get to live our lives, you guys. I promise, I'm learning to do it every day and not be quiet about it. It doesn't matter who, you know, sometimes I'm in a grocery store and I'll just kind of, a lot of people around, I just kind of sneak up and say, hey, man, you want prayer today? Did you want that prayer? Dude, what if it was like, hey, man, God loves you so much. Do you want prayer? And they go, yeah, I would love prayer. Hey, everybody in the store, do you want to see a miracle? You're about to see Jesus do something, and it's going to be an invitation for you to have a relationship with Him. Come watch what happens. I'm telling you, I want that. Not because of me. I don't need to see a miracle for miracle's sake, but I need to see people's lives changed because I love them and I know what's available. That's what I want, man. I'm serious. I'm getting there. Hey, man, you want prayer? What did you say? You want that prayer? Hey, man, God loves you so much. He's in love with every part of who you are. You know, this is what I want, man. It's time for miracles to be normal. And they get to be normal, not because it's on us, but because it's in Him. The supernatural gets to be natural. The impossible gets to be possible. You and I were born to move mountains. It's time. Earlier this week, I am sitting at the kitchen table, breakfast table, Monday morning. And as a family, we're having breakfast, and we always do a verse of the week with our family. And it doesn't mean we don't read other scriptures throughout the week, but we have one key verse that we go back to every day, and we memorize it. Jethro's memorized so much scripture, and he needs a little help. He is three, but he knows his verse of the week, and he memorizes it, and we teach him how to apply it to his life. And this particular Monday, I open up the Bible, and I'll tell you the verse. Make sure I'm painting this picture right. This is not the Springer sitting at the table holding hands, singing a worship song, reading the Bible. You know, this is Jethro taking a bite of cereal and running around because he's just happy about life. This is Blaze hitting on his little table because he's hungry. We got worship music blaring, and Caroline and I are fixing breakfast, and we're screaming at the top of our lungs. You know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure you know, Liz, this is a beautiful chaos in the presence of God, okay? But it is beautiful. I just didn't want to paint a picture. You're like, man, the Springer's just sitting around holding hands, sing Kumbaya and open read the Bible. That ain't going down at the Springer's house. 7-month-old and a 3-year-old. But there's usually at least one moment at the breakfast table where everybody's quiet at least a little bit because we have food in our mouths and we're eating. We're feeding Blaze. Jethro's eating his cereal. And that's the moment that I opened up the Word of God. And so this particular week I said, gosh, the verse is Matthew 17:20. And I begin to read it, and it's one where Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. I've heard that scripture a lot all my life. You ever read a scripture, though, you know really well, and it just hits you completely differently? I read it again. And I was thinking to myself, is that it? Is that Jesus? This is what Jesus is saying. Man, if you just believe in God, you'll see mountains move. Because he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which it's not that big. If you just believe that God is who he says, if you believe, man, even non-believers, you can ask, I mean, you believe God's powerful? Yeah, I think so. Well, you believe he can do anything? Well, yeah, he's God, isn't he? That's what Jesus is saying. If you just believe in God, you can see mountains move. And I go, man, is that it? I go, man, I've overcomplicated this thing. We've overcomplicated it. We've turned faith into something we're trying to understand rather than someone that we believe in. Are you with me? And Jesus is breaking it down really simple. He says, if you have faith, and it doesn't have to be that big, you'll see mountains move. See, I've learned over the past 3 years that faith is not a matter of the mind, it's a matter of the heart. Woo! It's not something, it's someone. It's as simple as saying, God, just believe in you and you'll see the mountains move. But our mind gets in the way. There are so many believers, man. They're waiting on understanding. They're waiting on God to explain something before they give themselves permission to actually believe it, receive it, and experience it. There's so many believers that have stopped pursuing the miraculous. First of all, they don't realize God's already there. It ain't on you, it's in Him. But they've stopped pursuing the miraculous because they don't quite understand everything about it. I'm just telling you, there's some things that God never intended for us to understand. He just intended for us to experience. And as we allow ourselves to experience it, that's actually when we begin to understand it the most. This is faith. Simple, raw. God, I believe in you. If we understand everything about God, then He's not really God. If I understand everything about how the miraculous works, then I don't really need faith. But the Bible says as you live by faith, that's what you'll begin to see. Because our faith attracts His faithfulness. We'll see mountains move. But all it takes is, man, God, I just believe in you. I don't understand it all right now. I just believe in you. That's why I say oftentimes it's better caught than it is taught. It's better experienced than it is explained. It's not about what you know. It's all about who you know. This is faith. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't pursue understanding. I think that's actually really, really important. As long as it's not at the expense of believing that God is bigger than our pea-sized brains. Are you with me this morning? He's huge. He's on the move. He loves us. It's His will for to be on earth and is in heaven. Step out, man. Join the party. I'm serious, man. It's time. This is who the Father is. Later on that morning, I went for a jog before I went to teach drum lessons. I said, Jethro, you want to go for a run? And he knows what that means. He jumps in the jogging stroller, and we look for animals. Squirrels, birds, dogs, cats, you name it. We're on the run, and we're like, you know, we're looking for animals. And so on this run, man, like Jethro's looking for animals, and I can't get that scripture off my mind. I'm going, man, I've overcomplicated things. What is this? God, I just want to believe in you. I just want to step out. I don't want to try to figure things out in a formula before. I don't want to, like, be quiet. I just want to believe in you because you're already moving. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly. He goes, Wes, it's time. And I said, time for what? He said, it's time to believe God in a way that you never have before. And the moment he said that, it hit me. You know what hit me? Not more faith, not more courage, freedom. I can take you to the spot where I was jogging on the corner of the house that I was running by. Freedom hit my gut. And I felt this freedom, man, from my mind and freedom to just believe in Him. I knew the moment He said, it's time for you to believe God like you never have before. I knew He wasn't saying, Wes, you need more faith. Wes, you need to go do more. I knew He was saying, no, you need to believe like you never have before. Simple, raw. I just believe in God. I knew it. I just believe in you, God. And then the Spirit began to speak to me and He reminded me. He goes, Wes, this Christian life, it's supposed to be a supernatural experience from beginning to end. Nothing less. He said where the demonstration of God's power becomes normal in your everyday life. Pico West, you talk an awful lot about the supernatural. I do. I actually don't know that I talk enough about it. There is nothing that's not supernatural about Christianity. West, you need to get in the Word more. I eat that thing. I breathe it. I sleep on it. There ain't nothing in that word that's not supernatural. Nothing. We have a supernatural Bible with a supernatural Jesus, with a supernatural Christianity, everything. You think about it, man. We have a supernatural King Jesus who was born from a virgin, 13-year-old girl, lived a perfect life on our behalf, never sinned, went to the cross and took on the weight of the whole world's sin. On our behalf, then He raised from the dead, conquering death, goes back to sit on the right-hand side of the Father. And at the same time He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, the Bible also says He's living in our heart at the same time. That's nuts. And He's put us in relationship, an intimate relationship with an amazing Father who in Psalm 77:14 says, I am the God who performs miracles. I love to display my power among people, and I've chosen you to be the ones that I release my power through. There's nothing about this Christianity that is not supernatural. And it gets to be natural, it gets to be normal, not on us, but in Him. This is who God is. We just get to believe in Him. That's what the Spirit said on that jog, to believe like you never have before. Christianity is supposed to be a supernatural existence from beginning to end. Man, don't cookie cut it. Go for it. I want to talk about this morning where faith starts, what faith looks like, and what faith sees. Are you ready? Where faith starts, what faith looks like, and what faith sees. Real simple. It starts somewhere. This is where faith starts. It starts somewhere, man. It starts simply just, God, I believe in you. Do you believe in God? Man, then you got faith. It's not the size of our faith that matters. It's the size of God. It's not about how big our faith is. It's about how big we believe God is. Because it's not about what you know. It's all about who you know. This is where faith, it just, man, it starts somewhere, anywhere in your life. People are waiting. You heard people say, man, I'm just waiting to get more faith before I do this and pursue this. And it's the realization that it's not about how big your faith is or how small it is. It's about this realization that I have enough. I have enough because I have Him. Randy Clark asked this question. He said, you want to know how you have faith? You're willing to pray for the sick. You're willing to serve your neighbor. You're willing to tell someone that Jesus loves them. All you need is enough, and you got enough. Do you believe in God? Yes, you got enough. Woo! Jesus describes it as a mustard seed. And it doesn't mean that, like, the goal is a mustard seed-sized faith, but the more you're willing to step out because you believe that God's on the move, the more you see, and the more you see, the bigger and bigger your faith will become. All of a sudden, it won't look like a mountain. It'll just look like an opportunity for Jesus to get what He paid for. Woo! I love Matthew 17:20. There's two things I want to pull out from that passage. The first thing is this. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll see the mountains move from here to there. They'll move. I think Jesus is telling His disciples, you were born to move mountains. Do you believe it? I feel like Jesus is letting them know, listen, now that you've been with me, life should look a lot different from here on out. Now that Jesus lives in us and the Spirit rests on us, we shouldn't look the same. It shouldn't be ordinary. It gets to be extraordinary. I believe Jesus is saying, you were born to move mountains. Listen, when the 120 emerged from the upper room after they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and power, wouldn't it be weird if when they emerged after being baptized, if they looked the same and acted the same as before the baptism took place? That'd be weird. What about us as believers? When we emerge from our services on Sunday morning, wouldn't it be weird if we looked the same and went after the same things and acted the same way? We ought to look different. We ought to be different. We ought to go after different things. This is who Jesus is. And I believe that's what He's telling us. Just so you know, now that you've been with me, well, things get to look different now. You were born to move mountains, but I think He's also saying, but look, it's not on you, it's in me. Because your faith didn't have to be that big. It could be as small as a mustard seed. You got enough. Just step out and watch the Holy Ghost work. Amen. This is simple. Rock, God, I just believe in you. I don't feel like I got that much right now, but I'm going. I mean, this works even with your prayer life. How many of you just feel like I ain't got enough faith today to even pray for the situation, to even pray for the family member, to even believe that that family member can come to know Jesus? I ain't got enough faith today. I've got this thing that happened, man. I'm just like, I got nothing. I just want to clam up and do nothing. And God's going, wait a minute. This is who I am. This is what I love to do. Get on your knees and pray. From a place of rest and from a place of victory, and watch the Spirit move. I'm telling you, man, God is on the move. Oh my gosh, man. Where does faith start? It starts somewhere. You got enough. Now, what does faith look like? You ready? Real simple. It looks like something. Where does faith start? Start somewhere. What does it look like? It looks like something. Faith, it looks like you and I stepping out. It looks like action. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, because I believe, therefore I speak. And because I had the same spirit of faith, therefore I speak. If we're not willing to speak and declare what we believe in and invite the power of God to come, then your faith will just remain idle. It starts somewhere. Oh, I got enough. I'm created to move mountains. Now, it looks like something. And it's cool, man, because in Mark 16:20, it says the disciples went and preached everywhere, and God went and worked with them, confirming their words with signs and wonders and miracles. Now watch, man. It doesn't say that God was doing something and the disciples were tagging them along behind trying to keep up. No, it says the disciples went and then God was there confirming it with signs, wonders, and miracles because this is who the Father is. Faith looks like something. It looks like action. But first of all, you can step out in action because you got enough. Because this is who the Father is. I'll never forget when we started this church. We knew 5 years ago that we were going to have street ministry, right? We knew that was going to be a part of it. And I was so excited to lead street ministry, to go out into the city and pray for the sick and share the gospel and see lives change because it makes us come alive. It's what we were born for. I was excited. But I didn't really know what it was going to look like. So I was real nervous. I remember just having several conversations with Jeremy. It's like, hey, bro, when are we supposed to start it? And Jeremy kept going, bro, go. Because, see, Jeremy's my go-to man. So I get excited and passionate about things. But Jeremy's such a good, he's so good with taking it and making it come to life. Or, like just bringing it into pass. Or coming up with a plan of how it's going to look. He wouldn't give me anything on this one. And I'm so thankful that he wasn't. The main thing Jeremy was doing was. And I never forget one day I was on the phone with him. I don't know if Jeremy remembers this or not, but I was just like, it had been 2 or 3 months, and I was waiting on, like, I'm waiting on God, right? God, you're gonna give me a plan, and we're gonna start street ministry. It's gonna be crazy. And I'm on the phone with Jeremy. And bro man goes, bro, I think that you're just supposed to announce it this coming Sunday that we're going to have street ministry next Saturday and let people that want to come show up and just go. And that was the moment I realized, man, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's supposed to look like something. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit back and it's not going to look like anything. Come on, man, this is simple, raw faith. We announced it, I think it was the next Sunday. We said, this such and such Saturday, man, we're going to go out and love on the community and pray for the sick and share the gospel. So we get to that first Saturday. I am nervous. I don't have a plan except Jesus. And I came to realize that was enough. Where's faith start? Start somewhere. What's it look like? It looks like something. 10 or 15 people showed up that day. We went and just loved on our city. And I just remember thinking the whole time, I was like, man, God, you already been out here. I've been waiting on you. You've been waiting on me to be someone else that you move through, man. And this is what's making me come alive. And it was so fun. It's so exciting. We blessed so many people and prayed for so many people. I remember one of the first, you guys good for a quick testimony. I remember one of the first times we went out and prayed for people. It's like maybe the third or fourth Saturday that we did it. I remember driving down the road, and I was learning then. This is 5, 6 years ago. I'm learning then just the voice of Holy Spirit and how to move with when I feel like he's highlighting things. I'm learning words and knowledge and the prophetic and things like that. I'm just growing in it. It's awesome. And so I'm driving to the church, and on my left, I pass a Winn-Dixie, and the Holy Spirit just lights it up. I can't explain it to you. I just know how it looked. I don't know. I don't have words for it. I just know the Holy Spirit just lit Winn-Dixie up. You say, what it looked like? What color was it? I don't know. He just lit it up. I said, we're supposed to go to Winn-Dixie. So I get there and I tell the team, we pray, we worship, we're going to Winn-Dixie. We go, and there's this lady putting groceries in her trunk. I think I've shared this testimony here at the church before, but it's okay. She's putting groceries in her trunk. We run up, hey, man, can we help you with your groceries? And now, can we pray for you? God loves you so much. She goes, yeah. We grab hands. We make a circle. We begin to pray for her. Another car drives by, rolls down the window. What are you guys doing? We're praying. They park, come and join the circle. Another car pulls over, joins the circle. Another car. We have a long circle in the middle of the parking lot of Winn-Dixie that's literally blocking traffic. We had to move it out of the way. All of a sudden in the circle, I look behind me and there's a car and there's a guy with his elbow sticking out of the car. The Spirit lights it up the same way he did Winn-Dixie. So I break the circle and run. And I said, "Hey, man, I just want you to know how much God loves you, man. Can I pray for you today? Is there anything going on?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, this, and that." And I just felt in my spirit. I said, "Listen, I'm going to pray for those things, and Jesus is going to touch you right now. It's going to be awesome, man, because he's right here in this parking lot." I said, "But has there ever been a time in your life when you've invited Jesus into your heart?" You guys, that's so important. We're not just introducing people into physical healing. We're introducing people to the healer himself. Look, man, when someone gets healed or touched, it's an invitation from Jesus to come into a relationship with him. So he goes, "Man, no, I haven't." He said, "I've been to church." He said, "I can even quote some of the Bible, and I've never given my life to him." I said, "Would you like to do that right now?" I said, "Come on, man, the water's warm." I said, "God loves you so much." And he said, "I don't know." About this time, his sister walks out of Winn-Dixie, and she's holding a bottle of ibuprofen, a bottle. She goes, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "We're praying." She goes, "I need prayer." I said, "What you got?" She goes, "I just had my wisdom teeth out, and I got a dry socket. So I'm about to drink this bottle of pills so I can make it through work because I got bills to pay." So I ran around the other side. I said, "What if?" Let me paint a scenario for you. What if we prayed and Jesus took all your pain away and dried up that dry socket, whatever it is that needs to happen, and you didn't have to take those pills and you worked pain-free? She goes, "That would be really nice." And I just took her hand, grabbed her by the hand, and the first thing that came out of my mouth, I'll never forget it. It ignited something in me. I felt like it wasn't even me that said it, and I was nervous when it came out. I said, "Oh, Jesus, you're in love with her teeth." That's what I said. "Jesus, you're in love with her teeth." I just said, "Thank you, Jesus, right now that you paid a price for this." And before I could finish praying, she goes, "Oh, my gosh." And she starts screaming and opening up her mouth and looking in the rearview mirror and holding her cheek like this and looking. She goes, "I felt it leave." She said, "I literally felt the pain come out of my mouth and leave." And she goes, "What was that?" I said, "That was Jesus, man. He's in love with your teeth. He's in love with your heart." I said, "Do you know him as personal Lord and Savior?" And she goes, "I already do." And I looked at her brother, and I said, "Man, what about you now?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll ask him to come in my life." I ran on the other side, and he gave his life to Jesus right there in the parking lot of Winn-Dixie. It's awesome. The whole point of that is, you know, faith starts somewhere, but it also looks like something. You got enough. Jesus is already on the move. We just get to step out. Man, lastly, what does faith see? It's actually certain of what it doesn't see. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of what we hope for, and it's certain of what we do not see. I want to show you something this morning. Faith doesn't see into the physical. Faith sees into the spiritual. Even though it hasn't manifested yet in the physical, I see it already happening in the spiritual. Even though it hasn't happened yet, I'm going to live as though it already has, because this is who the Father is. This is faith. Raw, simple faith. That's not something we're trying to understand. It's just someone we get to believe in. And as we do, that's when we begin to understand it the most. I'm telling you, this is important right now because the harvest is plentiful. There are people that are in need and hurting around us that are looking for a Savior. We have what they're looking for. We go in love from rest, but we step out with expectation because this is who the Father is. I'm telling you, I'm ready to live that way, where the miraculous becomes normal, because God's actually the miracle worker, not me. I'm resting. I'm trusting in him. This is who my dad is. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, let us fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is just temporary. What is unseen is eternal. See, we step out in faith. The wind behind our faith is this expectation. I expect to see things. I expect, man, for miracles to take place, not for my sake, but for people's sake. I expect it to happen. Expectation is the wind behind faith, because we know that God's moving. There's an amazing story in the Bible, and then I'm going to pray. If you look reading the book of Acts chapter 12, I think this story really sums this up really well, what faith sees. And I'm going to make a long story shorter. You should actually read the whole thing in Acts chapter 12. But you have King Herod. So he is literally beginning to eliminate Christians, especially Christian leaders. And at the beginning of Acts chapter 12, it says that King Herod just eliminated James, the brother of John, by the sword. And so all the Christians are up in arms. They're grieving. And honestly, they're probably a little bit of afraid. And so now King Herod is thinking that I'm going to arrest Peter and put him in jail, and we're going to do the same thing to him. Because it says in the Bible that the religious leaders loved what King Herod did to James, because James is disrupting things. He's living the supernatural life, and it's disrupting life. So King Herod arrests Peter, throws him in jail, and now you've got all these believers, these Christians that are following God and following the leadership of Peter that are upset. So what do? They have a prayer meeting. They have a prayer meeting. They said the prayer meeting, the Bible doesn't say prayer meeting. They come together and pray. I'm calling it a prayer meeting. And so they all huddle up at Mary's house, and the Bible doesn't say exactly how long they were there, but I assume it's the amount of time that Peter was in the jail. And so they're at Mary's house, and they're praying. And so here's what happens. Now, this is a supernatural story. Do you know that when we read things in the Bible that are supernatural, it's not just some historical facts to give us some knowledge? They're actually invitations for us to experience the same things, because it reveals the nature of who the Father is. This is who the Father is. So when we read a crazy story, we don't go, man, that's cool, man, that was then. No, whatever God did then, he wants to do again to us now, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as I tell you this story, just say, I'll take that for myself. Are you ready? So Peter is in prison, and he's sitting between two prison guards. And all of a sudden it says an angel of the Lord appears to Peter and says, get up, boy, put on your clothes. So Peter, maybe he was naked, I don't know. Peter gets up, and it says the chains fall off his wrist. He didn't have to do a thing. Chains fell off of his wrist. Now keep in mind, man, there's a prayer meeting going on. People are praying for Peter's release. The chains fall off his wrist. He puts his clothes on, and the angel marches him down the hall. And it says that they pass all of these prison guards, and they're invisible. Like, they cannot see Peter passing them. Peter's escaping. They can't see him. It's crazy. As a matter of fact, Peter didn't even know it was real. Peter, it says in the Bible that Peter thought he was in a vision. Peter thought he was dreaming. So he's walking past these prison guards, waving at them, right? Then they get to the iron gate, and they're wondering, Peter's, what's going to happen? The iron gate just opens wide open, and Peter walks right through it. The angel of the Lord walks him all the way to the end of the street. The angel vanishes, and Peter comes to and realizes, then this is real. This just really happened. Chains fell off. I was invisible. The iron gate opened up for me. So what does Peter do? He runs to the prayer meeting. He runs to Mary's house, right? Because that's where his people are. And the Bible says he gets to the iron gate, or the place where Mary's house is. And the Bible does describe it as a gate. And he's knocking on the gate. And it says a young lady comes to the gate and peeks her head behind it. I imagine they're a little bit of afraid too, because King Herod is eliminating people. And the girl goes, who's there? And Peter goes, it's me. I've been set free. I escaped prison. And the little girl, the Bible says, she gets so excited, she doesn't open up the gate for him. She turns around and runs back into the prayer meeting. And she makes this announcement, hey, everybody, our prayers have worked. Peter's at the gate. You know what the Bible says they do? They laugh at her. Woman, you're foolish. Do you not know that Peter is sitting between two prison guards? It's why we're having this prayer meeting. Get in here, girl, and pray. You are interrupting this intimate time with foolish talk. She finally convinces them to come outside and look. They leave their little prayer meeting, go to the gate, and Peter's going, I could have been caught by now. I'm here. Like, what's going on? I would like to suggest that their hearts were in the right place, but they had no faith because they did not expect for Peter to show up at their door. Listen, expectation is the wind behind our faith. We step out and we see it happening before it even happens. I don't see it in the physical. I see it in the spiritual. Where does faith start? Well, it starts somewhere. Come on, man. You got enough? You got enough. Everybody in here, you got enough. Well, no, I don't know this much. I don't know that. You got God. You believe in it? Go. What's it look like? Man, it looks like something. It looks like anything. At some point, I mentioned it earlier, we have this desperation, man, to see God move. Not from an unhealthy place where we're begging God to do something, but from this place of like, man, I'm stepping out because I got to see things happen because I know who the Father is and what Jesus has made available. What does faith see? Man, it sees with expectation. It sees it happening before it happens. One of the ways I like to describe faith is like this lightning rod, right? When we step out in faith, it's like we attract the faithfulness of God. We actually take hold of the power that's available in front of us. You know how a lightning rod attracts, lightning attracts electricity? You and I aren't supposed to live a cold Christian life. We're supposed to be hot. We're supposed to be hot. So, but it requires faith. Well, how much? Do you believe in God? Start somewhere. Looks like something. He's enough. He's on the move. So I step out. All of a sudden, boom. Man, our faith attracts kingdom activity. And this is within any area of your life this morning. Yes, it is for you and I as we go and preach the good news to all creation. But this is, it doesn't matter what you're faced with, what you're dealing with. We come back to this simple revelation. God, I believe in you. God, I believe in you. I believe you're the God that changes. You're the God that reverses. You're the God that heals. And I believe that it gets to be normal in my life. So right now, I thank you for it. Whatever area, whatever situation. And I feel like this morning, God wants you to tell you, man, he's already moving. And if you've put some things down because you've stopped believing God for some things because it hasn't happened yet, man, pick them back up and hand them to God. Whatever you're faced with this morning, man, I dare you. Man, let's all stand up. I dare you to hand it over to God and say, God, I believe in you this morning. God, I believe in you this morning. Whatever situation that may be, small or big, it doesn't matter. It's all the same to God because he's big enough. I'm going to pray for us. And then I want you to just stay put right where you are. And I just want you to start handing God things. I just want you to begin to thank God. And listen, I feel like with all my heart that this week, you're going to see a change. You're going to see a reverse. I feel like this week, as you step out and take the risk, you're going to see God move because he's already moving. I feel it in the room. I feel faith being stirred up this morning. Faith like you've never had before. Not because you have more, but because your faith is not based on something you understand, it's based on someone that you believe in. God, we love you so much. And we just come to you this morning, God. And we just say we believe in you. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you have the answer. You have the solution. God, I pray right now that you would meet hearts right where they are. As we hand things to you, as we believe you for things, we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to begin to move about the room, that you're going to begin to bring answers. You're going to begin to bring solutions this week. You're going to begin to bring healing this week. You're going to begin to use this week like never before as we step out. We go in love. We minister from rest, and we walk by faith. God, we believe in you today. We love you, God. We need you, God. We want more of you. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, first and foremost, for who you are. But now we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. I thank you that you're going to show up in ways that we didn't even expect, ask of, or imagine, God. We thank you that you're just going to show up, God, in our life. We love you, Father. Man, just spend a few minutes just worshiping. Spend a few minutes just handing things to God. Come on. I'll stay in it just another few minutes. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody give Jesus a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you are still in it, man. Just stay in it. I don't want it to be over either. If you have children, you should go and get them, though. It's 12 o'clock and bring them back in here. And just really quick, let me just say this. If I had just a couple words of knowledge, I just kept seeing the word dialysis. If that's something to do with the kidneys, if you're on dialysis, man, come. We want to pray for you this morning. And if you're social distancing, we could do it from 6 feet away. And then I saw, who is it that came in here this morning and you had a headache, but now it's gone? Is that anybody? Anybody come in with a headache and now it's gone? Okay, that's good. Maybe somebody's watching. And then the other one was this lower back, this spot right here on the back that's hurting. Is that you? Okay, come on. We're going to pray for you. I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, if you need prayer, how we do this? I just gonna be here. If you need prayer and you still want to social distance, we'll do it from a distance. And yeah, you guys are awesome. Isn't God good? Does your faith feel stirred up this morning? Is that you, Don? Don just wants prayer. I love it. No, nobody had a headache when they came in this morning. I saw that so clearly. See, somebody's going to come up to me afterwards and go, that was me. But you shouldn't have it anymore. God's good. I just felt like, and the dialysis was so strong. I just felt like if I'm not willing to take a risk in front of you, then I shouldn't expect you to go out and take a risk, okay? God's so good. I'm going to lead by example, you guys. We're going to get, listen, let me tell you this too. We're going to get street ministry back going really soon. It's going to look a little different, so just stay tuned. And I just double dog day y'all that everybody show up. It's so fun. You come alive, man, just to love on people. It's why we're alive. It's our purpose for being alive. But look, again, we're not limited to just going out and sharing the gospel. We have faith in every area of our life this week. Every area, everything that comes up, we just stop and say, God, I believe in you, and watch what happens. Okay, I love you guys. Go get your kids. Bless you. Glory.